Most of the Gemara that we're going to see this morning is Agadata, so therefore we're going to go quicker than normal. Says the Gemara on the bottom line, Zman Nosi Tzorech Gedi Simon, that is the title of the various sugars that are coming up. Tana Rabbanon. Good morning, Rabbi Alex. Tana Rabbanon. Ein Ma'abrin Es Hashana Elo B'mezumonim. Here again, we're not talking about Ibur HaChodesh, we're talking about Ibur HaShana, deciding whether the year should be a leap year. That, says the Gemara, is only done b'mezumonim lo. What does that mean, b'mezumonim lo? So have a look at the top Rashi. B'mezumonim lo. By the way, Nachum, I hope you're okay, you're with us, you can hear us loud and clear. B'mezumonim lo, says Rashi, top Rashi. Shehizminon Hanosi Miba'erev. The Nosi would have to invite them the previous evening to assemble the Dayanim to then adjudicate whether they should make this an Ibuya, it's called. An Ibuya, whether they should make this a leap year. Now, why that should be, I'm not sure. Rabbi Yosef, do ask or point out why it's necessary for the Nosi to do so?
Or do designated. I'm sorry, I don't know.
Will they explain why they have to have
Well, they're till the night. Yes, they're till the night before, so they have time to think about it, since they were sort of appointed the night before, and they have the night to consider the issue by themselves without before they come to the discussion.
Okay, there isn't anything more than that. Okay. So either way, there is this halacha that the Nosi, this is the way it was done, the Nosi would invite everybody the night before and formally assemble them to then judge whether this year will or will not be a leap year, says the Gemara. So basically from here on in, basically to almost the bottom of the Amid is all Agadatus. We can learn this relatively quickly. Maisa Barabon Gamliel. There was a story with Rabban Gamliel. She'omar, he said, Hashkimu li shiva la'aliyah. What does Hashkimu mean? Like Hashkomas ach shachris for Arabis, to get up early. Please gather for me, as they say in Ivrit, ala boker, I'd like seven dayonim to please come to my aliyah. Aliyah is an attic, and there we will discuss this Indian of Bima'abdashana, says Rashi. Pop Rashi. Hashkimuli mochar, tomorrow in the morning, Zayin la'aliyah, hamiyuchedes, which was designated, leishev bo bezdin, for the bezdin to sit there. So he invited seven dayanim, please come up to my aliyah, where we will discuss being ma'abed hashana. Okay. Next morning, Hishkim, he got up early, and to his surprise, umotza shmoina. Instead of seven, he had only invited seven, eight people turned up. Omar, so he said, mi hu, who is this person, she'olo shaloi berushus? Mishu Allah Shalyeh Brashus Yeirid. Whoever is here without permission, because presumably only seven were invited, because that's what I requested. So I'm hereby announcing that whoever is here without permission should please leave. Yeirid should descend. Omad Shmuel HaKotan. So Shmuel, who was known as Shmuel HaKotan, why was he called Shmuel HaKotan? Because he was very modest. The Omar, and he said, Ani hu she'olisi she'loi brushus. He says, it was me. I was one who came up here without permission. V'loi la'abir shona olisi. But I did not come up over here really to partake in the discussion of Ibur shona. Elmo, elo, rather, lilmoid halocha lemaisa hutzrachti. but rather it was necessary for me to come and learn. That's what we call doing shimush tamidei chachamim. One sits with tamidei chachamim not to pask in the shailas that you leave for the tamidei chachamim, but to do shimush, to study and how it's done. So he said, Shmuel HaKotan, I'm not here to be ma'abar the shana, because yes, I'm uninvited. I was not one of the seven that was invited to partake. However, I'm here because I want to learn the halachas. I want to learn the halachas. Omar loy, shev bani shev. Okay, he said, sit, my son, you can sit. Ra'uya is kol hashanim kulon. All of the years would be appropriate lehis aber to become a shanam uberes al yodcha, through you. In other words, you can absolutely sit here. I let you stay. Really, you are a worthy candidate. Every year could be made into a shanam uberes through you. You are definitely have the right credentials. However, technically, there's a problem. Elo, amru chachamim, what should I do? The Chazal said, ein ma'abrin es hashala, elo b'muzumonim lo. You can only be ma'abrin es shanim if you were invited. So yes, you are on the one hand welcome to sit here because you definitely have the credentials, but I'm sorry, you cannot partake in the discussion. Why not? Because Chazal say that the only ones that can be ma'abrin es shana are the ones who were invited. At the end of the day, you weren't invited. That was really the end of the story. So have a look at Rashi on the second line.
Why are they saying that then when he's telling them point blank, I'm not, I have no intention of sitting, I'm just here to learn?
Yeah, no, because initially he said, whoever's not invited, he has to leave. Initially he said, whoever's not invited, yay, raid, has to leave. So Shmuel HaKotan said, well, please let me stay, albeit not to partake in the discussion, and that he allowed. Says Rashi, V'loi la'aber shono alisi lehitstareif imochem, to join with you achshav now. That's not why I came. But rather lelilmoid Torah mikem. But rather I came to study Torah from you. Heich ta'asu, to know how you do this. To know how, what is the process of being ma'aber the shono. Okay, look back into the Gemara now. So that was really the end of the story. However, says the Gemara, a very important postscript to this story. V'loi Shmuel HaKotan Hava. But the truth is, it was not actually Shmuel HaKotan. Meaning, there was definitely an extra person there because seven were invited and eight showed up. Shmuel HaKotan claimed that he was the eighth, and he was uninvited, says the Gemara. That was not the case. Actually, he was invited, and it was somebody else who was uninvited. So why did he volunteer? Why did he say that it was him? Elo, says the Gemara, inesh achrina. Really, it was somebody else who had come as an uninvited guest. Umachmas kisufo. What does kisufa mean? Because of shame. It was because of the shame of that particular individual, Hud Abad, that's why he did so. So when Rabban Gamliel said, whoever is here without permission is requested to leave, Shmuel HaKotan knew that whoever that person is going to be highly embarrassed. So in order to spare his shame, he volunteered and pretended that he was the one who came uninvited. Says Rashi, Machmas kisufa hu de'ovad. Sheloi yakiru. So that they should not recognize mi hoya ha'oile, who was the one who went up, sheloi brushus, without permission, vialbinu ponov, and he will become highly embarrassed. Says the Gemara, we have now a similar story. In fact, a few similar stories.
What's Yalbinu Panav again?
Sorry?
Yalbinu Panav, what did you say it was?
Yalbinu Panav literally translated is to whiten his face.
Okay.
It's a reference to embarrassing somebody.
Amalvinis Pnei Chavera Barabim.
Right, but that's about being malbin pnei chavera. You whiten the face because when somebody's embarrassed, all the blood is like drawn from his face. Says the Gemara. Kiha, just like the following story. So here you see the greatness of Shmuel HaKotan, that in order to spare shame from somebody else, he volunteered and was happy, as it were, to take the shame upon himself. So we're going to see a similar story, says the Gemara. Kiha, the Yosef Rebbe, like on one occasion, Rebbe sat down. As we always point out, whenever you have a tof in the middle of an Aramaic word, then the easy way to convert it into the Hebrew is replace the tof with a shin. So if it says Yosef, it's like it says Yoshiv, Yoshav. So Yosef, Rebbe sat down, v'kodorish, and he started giving a drasha. All of a sudden, v'heiriach, reach, shum. All of a sudden, he could smell the very pungent smell of garlic. Somebody had just eaten garlic, and therefore there was an extremely unpleasant and very sharp odor in the room, which presumably was disturbing his shear.
And he wouldn't give the shear b'shum ofen.
B'shum ofen. Omar, so he said, mi she'ochal shum. Whoever is the one who has eaten garlic, yetze, should leave. It's clearly disturbing the shear. Upon which, Omad Rabbi Chia v'yatza. Upon which, Rabbi Chia stood up and he left. Following which, Omdu Kulon v'yatzu. Then they all stood up and they all left. But the first one to leave was Rabbi Chia. Next day, b'shachar in the morning, motzoi Reb Shimon b'Rebbe l'Reb Chia. Remember, who was giving the shir? It was Rebbe. So now it was Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe. It was Rebbe's son, and he met this Reb Chia. Omar lei. So he said to him, "Ah, I heard what happened in the shir. My father announced whoever's eaten the garlic should leave, and you left. Apparently, you were the one who ate garlic. What a disgrace." Omar Lei, he said to him, "Atohu, were you the one, shetziarto la'abo, that you caused anguish, distress to my father? What type of business is this to turn up at a shear with this type of odor, which disturbs everything there? Why were you matzah my father?" Omar Loi, so he said to him, "No, Loi tehe kazois be Yisrael, chas v'shalom. Something like this in Yisrael should never happen." In other words, it wasn't me at all. It wasn't me. Have a look at Rashi. On the end of the wide lines, Sheretzi arto la'abo, you were metzair, my father, she'ochalto hashum. Because you apparently ate the garlic, as was proven, because you were the one who left. The nodaf horeach, and the smell leaked out.
So he answered, everybody left.
One thing. So he answered, Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom she'oichal hashum. Chas v'shalom that I should eat garlic, b'boyoy le'beis ha-medrash. Of course, I would never do a thing like that, coming to the Beis HaMedrash, having just eaten garlic, causing an unpleasant smell. Elo, kidei sheloi lahalbin ponov, in order not to embarrass, again, to whiten the face, shel ho'ichel hashum, of the one who really did eat the garlic, yotzasi, I therefore volunteered to leave first, in order that everybody should leave. What would we achieve by that? And that way we would not understand who it really was. In other words, Reb Chia was very smart. Reb Chia knew it's not going to simply help if he leaves. Why? because then the smell of shum obviously will still be smelled. So you haven't achieved much. But if he got up to leave, and I don't know how he knew they would leave, but that way that caused everybody else to leave. So ultimately, nobody now knows who it was who really ate the shum, because they all left. But it was Reb Chiya's greatness, because otherwise everybody would have sat there saying, well, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me, who is it? And the one who it really was would have been the only person to leave. So that way, you see that's exactly what Shmuel HaKotan did in the attic of Rabban Gamliel. That's what Reb Chiya did in the Beis HaMedrash of Rebbe.
So why did Rebbe's son ask him, why did you leave? Everybody left.
No, but he was the first one.
Ah. And by the way, is there a word in the Gemara for deodorant? Because this could be very, very apropos to today's day and age.
Well, what's that?
People that show up in Shiurim without deodorant in Israel.
This is mentioned in Halacha.
I've encountered Mishulachim who you have to step back from them. It's so strong.
It's very strong. Yeah, I know exactly what you're referring to. It's an Indian of Kavod Habrius. It's an Indian of Kavod Habrius. It's very neger, especially in this country. It's a very, very difficult, undefined halacha, or better put, it is defined, but it's difficult to apply. And that is, for example, in the 9 days. So in the 9 days, you don't take a shower. Now, in this country, you're talking about Chodesh Av, which is the hottest month of the year. So on occasion, it's not just a question of being uncomfortable, which is obviously the whole point. But rather, it's positively unpleasant to everybody around them. So if you come to a Beis HaMedrash not having showered for 9 days and you've been running around in the hot sun and there's a terrible odor being emitted, then clearly that cannot be what Chazal had in mind at the expense of Kavod HaBrius.
Well, it's possible, it's mutter to wash certain parts of the body without taking the shower.
It's mutter to wash some parts of the body, pon of yod of raglov. It's also mutter if it's a very, very sweaty area, etc., etc., etc. We're not going to get involved in all halachas now. But there are serious shailas of kavod habrius. Yes, kavod habrius.
You know, the Torah itself gives a remez to the difference between the pleasantries of good smells versus difficult smells. When Yosef was captured, was arrested, was taken by the Midianim down to Egypt, and the Torah says it was perfumes versus skins because Hashem wanted it to be a pleasant trip. That's a riot to explain that. If it wasn't that, it would have been very uncomfortable.
Correct, but I have an even more up-to-date proof, more topical proof.
Topical?
More topical.
That's the right word.
From this week's parasha, Parashas Truma. It says they have to bring all the materials from the Mishkan, including Shemen Lamo'er, and also Besomim. So if you look in the Rishonim explain, they say just like when you come into a king's palace, you expect it to be very well illuminated and there to be a pleasant fragrance, right? You wouldn't walk into Buckingham Palace and find a garbage can leaking and a mold on the wall and a very musty smell. There'll be a very pleasant smell. So the Das Akenim, Bali Tosus, and others point out that was the Indian as well. You had Shemen Lamo'er, that it should be brightly lit, and it should be the Besomim, so that it'd be a pleasant smell in the Mishkan. Okay, back to our discussion. So we've had so far two stories. We're going to see this furthermore. Two stories of when Shmuel HaKotan in the first story and Reb Chiya in the second story, where they volunteered, as it were, to embarrass themselves in order to save the blushes and the embarrassment of somebody else. Because it's Rosh Chodesh Adar, and everybody is in a good mood today.
Of course.
So I'll tell you a beautiful story that happened in the yeshiva that I was zeichet to learn in Gateshead Yeshiva. I had a friend who now lives in Bnei Brak, learns in Ponovich. His name was Rabbi Alex Hull, H-O-O-L. And he was, at the time, a fantastic bocha. In fact, he was so good that it was hard for him to learn because the whole time people were coming up to him to ask him questions in learning. So it was very difficult for him to learn uninterrupted. So one day, he was learning in the Beis HaMedrash. And somebody came to ask him a question, and then he left, and then somebody else came to ask him a question, and then a third person, and then a fourth, and a fifth. He couldn't learn at all. So he decided he wanted a bit of peace and quiet. So he closed his Gemara, left the base of Medrash, and he went to the back. At the time in Gates of Yeshiva, there was a big room, which was the Oitzah HaSforim, at the library of the Yeshiva. He took his Shtender there. He took his Gemara. There it was all quiet. Nobody was there. He sat himself inside the Oitzah, and he locked the door. Fine. Peace and quiet. He's sitting there minding his own business, learning, and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. So he ignored it. And there's another knock. And a voice comes through the door and says, "Could I please come in? This is Avram Gurovitz." Avram Gurovitz is the Rosh Hashiva. Now, Avram Gurovitz had a very, very distinctive voice, which we as Bochrim like to imitate. And Alex Hull knew that this was obviously just another Bocher imitating the Rosh Hashiva. So Alex shouted back through the door, "Okay, very good imitation. Don't waste my time." And he carried on learning. Again, there's another knock on the door. I said, "No, this is really Avram Gurovitz. I'd like to get a sefer, please, from the Oitzah." And he said for the second time, "Alex, okay, yes, excellent, very good, mimic. You sound exactly like the Rosh Hashiva. Please, I'm trying to learn. Don't waste my time." And then when the knock came for a third time, and he realized, "Hey, Gavalt, this probably is the Rosh Hashiva." So he's now caught in a terrible situation. So what should he do? If he doesn't open the door, well, it's a tremendous chutzpah. The Rosh Hashiva is waiting. And if he does open the door, he's going to be highly embarrassed. So what should he do though? How can he keep the Rosh Hashiva waiting? So he's got no choice. So he opened the door. And standing in front of him was indeed the Rosh Hashiva of Avram Gurovitz. But to Alex's pleasant surprise, Avram Gurovitz, if you are looking at your screen, Avram Gurovitz was standing outside the door with his hands over his eyes, waving him past. In other words, he realized that whoever's in the Yates is going to be very embarrassed. So Avram didn't want to see who it was. So his eyes were completely covered. He said, "Come out, but I shouldn't see who you are." A tremendous gallus of Avram Gurovitz. Several years later, 2 or 3 years later, Alex Hull had been in the yeshiva. He was the top bocha in the yeshiva. And he eventually left the yeshiva and he moved to Bnei Brak. The minhag was, when a bocha left the yeshiva, they used to make what was called a sudas preda, like a farewell party. So they made a sudas preda for this Alex Hull, and many bochrim were there, and Rabbi Avram Gurovitz, the Rosh Hashiva, was there as well. So Alex Hull had a tremendous sense of humor, stood up there and he said, "I'd like to thank the Bochrim, I'd like to thank the Yeshiva, I'd like to thank the Rosh Hashiva." And he said to the Rosh Hashiva, he said, "You know, I enjoyed your shiurim over the years, but I must tell you, even though there is so much Torah, there is so much that you know and that I don't know, but there's one thing that I know that the Rosh Hashiva does not know." Everybody's sitting there for the chutzpah. How can you talk like that in front of the Rosh Hashiva? And he recounted that story, and he said to Rosh Hashiva, "A very big Yashar Koyach, I was that bocha. I was that bocha. That's something that I know and that you didn't."
This must be a very, very, very famous story, because I heard this story from Rabbi Chaim Waxman on a shir many, 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 many years ago. He recounted that exact story. He didn't mention that your friend's name, but he mentioned Rabbi Mark Gurovitz on the story. So this must be a very well-known story.
Could be it's a famous story. Rabbi Waxman, his wife, is from England, so it could be, he definitely has English connections. He might well know. But yeah, it's a beautiful story. It's a famous story in the annals of Gates in Yeshiva history, especially when Alex Hull said, "There's one thing that I know, and the Rosh Hashiva doesn't." Okay, back to our story. Says the Gemara, "V'Rebchia mehecha gomir lo." Where did Rebchia learn to do this from? Rebchia, who stood up and volunteered, even though he knew he may well be embarrassed, where did he learn to do this from? And the Gemara says, Mira Bimea. Now, let's just pause for a moment. Does anybody here understand the Gemara's question? What does that mean? Where did he learn it from? He was an excellent Baal Midas, a tremendous Onov. So what do you mean, where did he learn it from? Well, why must he have learned it from anybody? If somebody gives stocker to an Oni at the door, do we say, oh, wow, where did you learn that from? And the answer is, and this is such a critical yesod, everything that a Talmud Chacham does is b'maseira. Everything, Moshe kibel Torah misinai, everything is passed down. Everything that I do, I don't try and mimic and replicate, but I know what the right thing to do is based on what I've seen. Whether that's appropriate for me or for not, or not, or how I can adapt that with my midas and my koiches, that's a different question. So that's what the Gemara is saying. How did Reb Chiya know that this was a correct conduct of behavior? The answer is Mirabi Meir. Well, what happened to Rabbi Meir? Also, a potentially highly embarrassing situation. The Tanya, because you have a Braisa, Maisa Beisho Achas. There was a story that a particular woman, Shebasa, Lebeis HaMedrash, Lebeis Medrashish, Rabbi Meir. She stormed in to the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Meir, and she said as follows, Amra loy, Rabbi. She said, Rabbi, Echad mikem. There is one of you in the Beis HaMedrash, it may be you, it may be one of Tamidim, somebody here, Kiddushani Bebiyo, Muzmakadesh me by having relations with me. So that means there is somebody here who might not be admitting to it, but he's my husband and I'm his wife. And clearly she didn't want to be. Omad Rabbi Meir. So none other than Rabbi Meir himself stood up, v'kosav lo, get krisus. And he wrote for her a get, v'nosan lo, and he gave it to her. Omdu kosvu kulam, at which stage they all got up and every single person wrote a get, v'nosnula, and they all gave her a get, so that until this very day, nobody knows who was the one who had relations with this woman.
This is like Tamar and Yehuda.
Right, so therefore this is where Reb Chiya learned it from. He learned from Reb Meir. The Reb Meir was willing to put his own embarrassment as well. Can you imagine what everybody thought when they see the Greiser of Meir writing a get? That's what happens. That's what you're involved with. So after they realized, no, it was a very clever ploy. That way everybody wrote a get, and now nobody knows which was the valid get, but it doesn't make a difference. At the end of the day, she's now free to get married. Says the Gemara. V'Rabbi Meir Meicha Gomer Lo. So how did Reb Meir learn it then? Very nice that Reb Chiya learned it from Reb Meir. But where did Reb Meir learn it from? The answer is Mishmuel HaKotan. The story that we mentioned at the beginning of the Omid, Shmuel HaKotan predated Rabbi Meir. So Shmuel HaKotan was one who announced that he's there uninvited, but it wasn't true. That was the lesson for Reb Meir, and that was the lesson for Reb Chiya. So of course the obvious question becomes, so how did Shmuel HaKotan learn it? V'Shmuel HaKotan Meicha Gomer Lo. So where did Shmuel HaKotan learn it from? And the answer is Mi Shachnia Ben Yechiel. Shachnia Ben Yechiel is recorded in the Novi, on the Sefer Ezra. So what happened with Shachnia Ben Yechiel? Because it says there, Vayan Shachnia ben Yechiel mibnei Elam vayomer leEzra, and he said to Ezra, who was the leader of Klal Yisrael, Anachnu moalnu beleikenu, we, meaning indicting himself, we have been moel. Moel means we have profaned. Against Hakadosh Baruch Hu, v'noishav noshim nochriyos me'amei haaretz. And we have married women from the non-Jewish nations. Va'ata yesh mikver li Yisrael alzois. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Anachnu ma'alnu v'hu loy nos anochris," even though he himself had not married a non-Jewish woman at all. And yet he included himself in the general, "we married non-Jewish wives," although it was not true. V'hichnis atzmoy b'chlal, and he incorporated himself in this klal, shaloy lahalbin p'neim, in order not to embarrass others. So you see, we're tracing this back now, stage by stage. So Reb Chiya learned it from Reb Meir. Reb Meir learned it from Shmuel HaKotel. Shmuel HaKotel learned it from Shachmir. Obvious question, keep on going, says the Gemara of Shachri ben Yechiel Meicha Gomelos. Where did he learn it from? We're getting closer and closer to the source. Mi Yeshua. Diksi, vayomer Hashem el Yeshua, kum, leich, lomo, ze, ato, noifel al ponecho, choto Yisrael. Remember the story in the times of Yeshua with Ochon? Ochon misappropriated some of that which was Be'etzem Hekdesh. There was a big indictment, and that's why they lost the battle against the town of Ai. And the question was, at the time, it was not known who was the one who took from Hekdesh until they did the whole lottery, etc., etc. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu notices that Yeshua is being noifel alponov. He's the one falling on his face. Why is Yeshua being noifel alponov? It definitely wasn't him. Omar lefonov ribayna shalayla mi chata. So who was it indeed? Omar, I'm not telling you. V'chi dil torano. Am I going to tell Lashon Hara, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hatel goyrolis. Make a lottery. Let's just quickly finish off. V'boyes eima mi Moshe d'ksiv ad ono me'antem. Me'antem. When it came to the parsha of the Mon, as we'll see in Rashi tomorrow, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as Mosai me'antem, as it were, till when will you rebel? Who's you? Me'antem. What, Moshe Rabbeinu rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But again, you see that we try to incorporate him with everybody else, so as not to cause embarrassment. So you see that this is all traced back to the source, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and all of our Torah and all of our conduct must always be traced all the way back to the source.
You know, when Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't even respond. He didn't embarrass her. He didn't say, "How dare you know who I am," whatever. It was Hashem that stood up and said, "You know, B'ni Moshe is upon him, and it doesn't compare to anybody else." But he was mechabed her, but he didn't want to embarrass her. He was very,
Very good point. Okay, we're going to run out of time. I wish I would.